Good evening. On behalf of the larger Pouliot family, let me welcome you tonight and just thank you for coming tonight to celebrate the life of Raoul Pouliot. And tonight, may we have much cause to be thankful to God and just thankful for the man. And let me also, on behalf of the family, invite you to stay for the time of refreshments afterward in our fellowship hall. They would love it if all of you would just join them after the service this evening. Now, let's begin with a word of prayer tonight. Let's all pray. Father, we are so grateful this evening that we are gathered here, Father, for a man who knew the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, that he loved him, served him, and had the joy of the Lord about him. And Father, we thank you this evening for the grace that gave him 93 years. And we thank you also, Lord, for all the lives he touched and those who have come this evening to remember his life. And so, Father, we're thankful for your mercy and your grace. And we ask you this evening that you will give comfort to all the family. Father, here is a man who will be missed. And we thank you that that is so. And yet we pray tonight that you will, Lord, give us just the grace of comfort and of encouragement and even the lessons of his life, that they may be ours this evening. So we thank you tonight, Lord, for the Word of God. We thank you for eternal truth. We thank you for Jesus Christ who lived and died to save us from our sins. And we thank you this evening, Father, that we can come. And in light of that which is true in time and that which is true in eternity, we pray this evening that we'll comfort and encourage our hearts. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read a couple of passages of Scripture to you this evening as we begin. And the first one is a very well-known portion of the Word of God, Psalm 23, the Shepherd's Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The second portion of Scripture that I want to read to you is the next to last chapter of the Bible. And in the beginning of that chapter, we read some tremendous words about what is true for God's people in the end. Revelation 21, beginning at verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And may the Lord seal the reading of his word to all our hearts for his name's sake. If you will now take the program that you were given as you came in, and we're going to sing one of the two hymns. There's a sheet in the middle of the program that gives you both hymns that we're going to sing. And we're going to begin with Send the Light. Send the Light. And let's go ahead and stand to sing this. 702, let's all stand to sing. All right. Pierre? Okay. Maybe later. All right. Sarah Gibbons, granddaughter to Raul, is going to come now and give some scripture reading.
Second Timothy 4, 6 through 8. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
Good evening. Thank you all for coming to celebrate my father's life. We're definitely going to miss him, but he was a wonderful man. But if I get choked up once in a while, bear with me. But to start, my father was conceived in Lowell, Massachusetts, and my grandmother didn't like Lowell, so they moved back to Canada, and he was born 2 weeks later. So, and he always said he always wanted to come back here. He loved the USA. So he's a Depression kid. And he had a rough time in his younger years, and even just for food. But he was on his own at 12 years old because his family couldn't feed him. So, but he was a survivor, always, and he told me something this is around 1980. At that time, I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I would have studies with my mother at lunchtime because I worked nearby, and then my father found out. He said, he better not come here with that Bible. I'm going to throw him out. And so one day I stopped in, and he didn't throw me out. And so one of his biggest fears was that what's going to happen to him, to his body, when he dies. When he was 7 years old in 1931, his uncle was reading the Bible, and he was excommunicated, and when he died, they buried him outside the cemetery, and that was a big, big question he had. And so he says to me, what happens when I, what are they going to do? I said, Dad, they can throw me on top of a manure pile. I could care less. The Lord says he'll raise me up on the last day. It doesn't matter. So he, shortly after a while, the pastor, our pastor at that time was Wilson Ewan, and he spoke French, and he was a wonderful man. And he befriended my parents. They were the same age, and they were they hit it off good. And they would have Bible studies, and then that's how my father came to put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. As obviously as you can see, my dad said, "I want to be cremated." So it didn't, you know, he had full assurance. It didn't matter. The Lord will raise you up, whether you're worm waste or ashes. And so that's how he solved that. Now, to show you, he's a pretty funny guy. He would come out with stuff sometimes. So we were going to a church in Nashua, a Bible Baptist church. And the hymn we just sang, "Send the Light." I'd like to say hello to my wife, Sandra. She couldn't be here. My wife came down with the shingles. So, but this and my friends, Bobby Blow, and there's quite a few people who used to go to the church with us. And that song, "Send the Light," we would all sit. Sandra, my wife's maiden name is Light, Sandra Light. So my father would sing, she'd be standing next to him, and he would sing, "Sandra Light." And the whole row would bust up, you know, and it was, and all the people who know, my friend Bobby Blow, he's in Colorado or not right now, but and they all remember that, you know. That song, "Sandra Light." Hello, Sandra. And I'd like to thank the congregation of Grace Covenant Church for hosting this occasion. And I'd like to thank the people of Bible Baptist Church in Fort Pierce, Florida, and all the members who were wonderful to my parents. My father loved that church, and their pastor passed away last year. He was a young man, but he loved my parents, and they loved him. And they brought my parents meals during the week, and they did this for the last 3-4 years. Just wonderful people. So I'm really thankful for that. And but he, you saw, you'll see some pictures in the fellowship hall, but I don't have to tell anybody who knew him, he loved to fish. And my brother Peter, I think he's got the gift from my father. He's another good fisherman. But one story, I took him and my father-in-law deep sea fishing, and we were on a boat, and it was in October. It was rough out there. And my dad was the only guy catching fish. He was catching haddock. And he says to the guy next to him, he had to go to the bathroom. He says to the guy next to him, he goes, "I'm going to put my pole down." And he says, "If I catch a fish, can you reel it up for me?" And he went to the bathroom, and sure enough, there was a fish on, he caught a haddock, and so it was pretty funny. And nobody else was catching anything on either side, but he could feel them, I guess. He was really good at that. And when they lived in Arcadia, Florida, which was when they first moved down there, there was a group of four of their friends, Bordy, Doug, and Joe. And Doug had a boat, so they would go fishing, and the picture you saw at the guest book, that's Dad. He's on the Peace River, and they're going fishing, and he was never happier than when he was fishing with his friends, you know. And but I'll say about my father, he's the nicest man I ever met. Okay. I never heard him say a bad word about anybody. And he loved all his kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. He was just a great grandfather. And every one of them had a special place in his heart. And you all know that. You know, and it's the last couple of years, his health, you know, he had Parkinson's and his health declined. And we did the best we could long distance, but they loved Florida and they wanted to stay there. They got hit. They moved to Fort Pierce, Florida. And I think it was 2004 and 2005. They got hit twice by a hurricane. And my father pretty much helped all the neighbors rebuild their house. And one day, I think he was 83 at the time, I called Mom. I said, "Where's Dad?" She says, "He's next door fixing the widow's roof." At 83 years old, he's up on the roof. But all his neighbors loved him, and he always helped everybody. He was, and there's a lot of people in this church that I can, I remember Mark and Carol, he would, and if he had the stuff, he'd bring it over. "What can I do for you?" And he'd take care of that. And Pastor, where we had the old parsonage here. And when Pastor first came, he went and put floors in for you guys and everything. He just he had the gift of helps, that's for sure, and hospitality. Like the obituary said, you know, nobody ever left hungry, and he loved to eat. He loved good food, and. Also, they lived in Fort Lauderdale, and they went to the Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church, Pastor Kennedy, who's also passed on. But they loved that. It was the doctrines were good. You know, he was a good Bible teacher, and. My dad's faith, he had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, as a Bible believer, I've got his French Bible here. I'm going to read a French scripture. Which is the scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And he loved that scripture. Et puis, c'est dans le livre des Éphésiens, le deuxième chapitre, les versets de 8 et 9, c'était ses favorites. Car c'est par la grâce que vous êtes sauvés par le moyen de la foi. Et cela ne vient pas de vous, c'est le don de Dieu. Ce n'est point par les œuvres, afin que personne se ne glorifie, car nous sommes son ouvrage ayant été créé en Jésus-Christ pour des bonnes œuvres que Dieu a préparées d'avance afin que nous pratiquons. And that was Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. By grace are ye saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so those were good scriptures. And he believed, and I'm going to read you one more, and it's The Gospel of John, the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We worship a person. We don't worship a system or a building or whatever, but our faith is in a person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't worship the paper and ink. The Word of God is Christ, but he wrote this for all of us. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes by to me except by, through Jesus Christ. So that's what my dad believed in, and we loved him very much. We love you, Dad. And I was thinking the other day, his Pastor Ewan has passed on, and Pastor Sebring from the church in Florida, and Pastor Kennedy. So I'm thinking in my head, like I was telling the pastor, I said, he's in the balcony, you know? And I want to get a picture together with those four guys in the balcony, you know? So, but that's the story of my father. The last couple of months were rough on him, and my mom. But we got mom with us. We thank the Lord for that. And up here, out of the hurricane, they got stuck in during the hurricane. It's been a brutal time. But thank you very much, and thanks again for coming to honor my father.
Thank you, Marcel. Let me begin by just adding my condolences and those of our church family to the entire Pouliot family. I remember very well when I first met Raul Pouliot, and it was on the occasion Marcel mentioned. He came to do some work on our floors in the little house that used to sit on this property here. And all I can say that he was a man that was a joy to be around. He just exuded, you know, that which just made you, you know, this is a nice guy. This is a great guy. And I really enjoyed his company whenever I had the privilege of it. Tonight I want to read what I think are some of the most wonderful words spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. As a believer in Christ, these words would be the testimony of Raul, and now in a much fuller way than they were when he was on earth. In Matthew chapter 28, Matthew chapter 11, excuse me, that chapter ends with these three verses. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know, those are amazing words, because here is Jesus, God's Son, inviting us to come to him. And the qualifications for this are not, you know, you who are perfect, or you who've got it all together, or you who are religious or faithful to church, but you who labor and are heavy laden. And we all qualify. We all qualify. Life presents us with many burdens, and a number of burdens that are very heavy ones. And no burden so great as our own sin, which is also the source of most of our trouble. But Jesus says to us, come, come as you are. Your burdens are too much for you, too heavy for you, too many to handle, too many to overcome. You cannot overcome your sin. You can't control everything and everyone in your life. And short of suicide, you sure can't control the time and the manner of your death. But Jesus says, come, and I will give you rest. Come, and you will find my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, several things. First, he says, come, and I will take your sins, and I will give you in exchange my righteousness. All your sins, past and present and future, will be forgiven because of what I did for you on the cross. You don't have to carry that massive load of guilt and shame and misery anymore. So rest in that. Secondly, when you come to me, I will be yours and you will be mine, says Jesus. From now through all eternity, I will accept you. I will value you. I will love you constantly. And as he says later in this Gospel of Matthew, I will be with you always. So again, Jesus says, rest in that. Then he says, come to me and I will take over your life and your affairs and circumstances. You will be able to ask me for help in everything you face in life. And I will always give it. I will be your faithful shepherd, guiding everything in your life. Now, he doesn't promise that it'll be a bed of roses. He doesn't promise it'll be easy. In fact, he tells us that the trials and difficulties he takes us through are the ways he draws us to himself, are the ways he takes our eyes off of earthly things and the way they weigh us down and puts our eyes on him and teaches us the things that matter. But he said, I will never, never leave you. I will guide all the things in your life. In fact, the Word of God tells us that all things work together for good to the sheep of Jesus Christ. I've not been to heaven yet, thankfully. But I can tell you from God's Word, it's not what I said, but what he says, that Raoul can now see the truth of those words and that in his life, Jesus did all things well, just as he promised. So Jesus says, come and rest in my faithful watch care. But then one final thing. The Lord Jesus says, come and your future, your eternity will be secure. Raoul now knows that truth by experience. He has entered into the full and the final rest in Jesus' presence, the final end meeting of come and I will give you rest. He now knows by experience. Now tonight, we mourn our loss because he will be missed, but we sure don't have to mourn for Raoul. I tell you, he has never been better. He is enjoying what Jesus lived and died to give him. And there's nothing better than that. As we read earlier from the book of the Revelation at the end of the Word of God, he's out of the reach of sorrow, out of the reach of crying, out of the reach of pain. But we're still here and still have the rest of our lives to live, whether that's a long time or a short time. And Jesus says to you and me, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, Jesus makes it so simple. He says, just come. Just believe me. Just trust in me. And I promise you, you will find rest for your souls. May the life of Raoul Pouliot have this impact above all others, that we follow him to Jesus, that we come as he did, and that we find rest for our souls as he did. May God make it so. Let's now take that hymn sheet again from your program and turn on the other side to the well-known hymn, Amazing Grace, a story of salvation in Jesus Christ, Amazing Grace. And once again, let's stand to sing this.
Amen.
Let's remain standing for a closing word of prayer. Father, we do praise you for the grace that you gave to Raul Pulliat. And we do thank you, Father, for the love that he had for his family and for so many others. We thank you, Father, for enriching him with brothers and sisters in Christ in the churches where he was. And we thank you for their love for him and his love for them. We thank you, Father, for all this gathering. And we ask you, O God, that you will take the lessons of his life and take, Father, his knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you will deepen ours. We pray, Father, for any who don't know the sweet presence of the Lord Jesus, who don't know him as the one who gives rest, that, Father, you will draw close to them and that you will show them the Lord Jesus as the nearest and dearest friend any ever had. Father, we thank you that you gave Jesus to be his shepherd. And we thank you, Father, that Raul knew all the goodness of Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, that you will grant your blessing on all this family and all this company. Father, we pray that you will give comfort and encouragement. Father, we pray that the prayers that Raul prayed for his family members would be abundantly answered in the days ahead. And Father, we pray that you will do everyone who knew him great good. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Room just down the hall, and for refreshments.